Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You guys are so amazingly kind. I am not worthy. I don't even get that attention at my home church. So you guys are awesome. Victory, you are amazing. You are making a difference in this area, and I commend you. And I'm honored. I'm honored to know your pastor. I'm honored to know Michelle. You guys are doing a tremendous work, and I really do consider. I don't think our lives are by chance, and I don't think that they're by coincidence. I think our steps are ordered by God, and I believe that we are developing an amazing lifelong friendship. And I just commend you, and I bring you greetings from Rancho Cucaracha, that's what we say, about 50 miles east of Los Angeles. And so we are just as old as you. On Easter, we are 22 years old as a ministry, so we are just so grateful. I want to just show you a quick picture. I don't know if they have it of my family. I forgot to ask them if they have. Yeah, there they go. So again, this is my United Nation family. These are my three sons. I have three sons, and these are my three daughter-in-laws. So to the right is Nathan with his Persian wife, totally Iranian, but saved, full of the Holy Ghost. And there's our little boy, Ezra, our Persian boy. And then next to me is my half-Korean daughter-in-law. And those three children are our grandchildren. And you can see the little princess down there holding her dress. That's Ariel, my middle son, Caleb. And then to your left would be my youngest son, Adam, with his African-American wife, Ashley. So I have two Ashleys, and that's my United Nation family. Can you imagine that? I'm so proud. I was so envious that yesterday they were visiting, the four grandchildren were visiting at our home, and I wasn't there. What a rare moment to have all four of them there, and I wasn't there. So imagine what my grandchildren, I mean, they're not going to know. When someone asks them, where did you get the name Mesa from? They're not going to have, they don't make tortillas, they don't make free fried beans, they don't know what a tamale is. That's sad. They don't know what chorizo is. Does anybody know what chorizo is in here? Okay. Does anybody look like me in Pittsburgh? Anybody look like me? You're supposed to say yes. I'm a Christian. Yes. Yes. You know, look at your hands. Look at your hands. Put your hands in front of you and say this. My hands are blessed by God. I lift my hands to praise my God. And I put my hands on myself, and my body is blessed in Jesus' name. I just felt led to say that today because I think there's something amazing about this ministry where God will continue to bless the works of this church's hands. Your hands are blessed. Amen? Praise God. Hey, we're going to have a good time. You want to have a good time tonight? I believe church ought to be a place to celebrate, not tolerate. Church is the most exciting place on the planet. And so we ought to have a great, amazing time. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God's blessing. We're going to get right into the word. Father, thank you for this amazing time in history. We thank you today. You have chosen all of us to be here tonight. God, what I know is that all of us have needs in our lives. And I ask, Lord, that people leave tonight. No matter how great the need is, I pray that you would be a merciful God. And I pray that you would meet the need. There are some people here today sick, God. They need a miracle, God. There are some people struggling in their marriages, God. They need a miracle in their marriage, oh God. Some people need miracles in their finances, in their soul and in their minds, with their children. But I ask that no one leaves this place disappointed. And God, I just thank you. I thank you for bringing the Los Angeles Rams to our city in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, we've been out of a team for many, many years. If you have your Bibles, iPhones, iPads, or you just simply want to listen, I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter. If you're taking notes or you just want a title, I want to title this message, Stressed out. Not that anybody could relate, but I just feel stressed out. Matthew says something amazing about being stressed out. Jesus said, come to me, an invitation. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Notice what he didn't say. Come to me, all you that don't have problems. Come to me, those of you that have perfect lives. Come to me, those that don't have needs. He said, no, I want all those to be welcomed in my presence, those that labor and are heavy laden or just simply burnt out. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Yoke means my lifestyle, my standards. Take that, and he says, follow me and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I love this part, and you will find rest for your soul. Say that with me. I will find rest for my soul. Today, I recognize that the greatest needs in people's lives are not necessarily financial. They're not necessarily physical needs. The greatest needs in people's lives are between our two ears. It's our emotions, it's our mind, it's our will. And God says, and Christ says to us, come to me and you will find rest for your souls. People's souls today, their minds, their emotions are full of anxiety, are full of worry, they're terrified, they're full of fear, they're full of discouragement, they're full of depression. All of that is going on in our minds. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. So let me challenge you today with this message as we work through it today. Why are people so stressful? Is it because of their deadlines, their demands, their responsibilities, the expectation, maybe frustration, so many struggles in our lives? It's the family issues, it's the health issues, it's the work and financial issues. Maybe it's because of the losses that we've experienced in our lives or the lack in our lives or just simply the load that we're carrying or the loudness of noise that's around us. Here's an amazing statistic I want to share with you. Doctors say that 90% of doctors' visits are stress-related. 90% of doctors' visits are stress-related. Illness and sickness is caused by stress. So many illnesses and so many sicknesses are caused by stress. Stress will break down your immune system, so that it cannot ward off illness or sickness or disease. It will begin to overwork your organs. People get insomnia. People get eating disorders. People get infection. People get diabetes. People get cancer, heart problems, high blood pressure. People get headaches. People get cramps. People get stomach ache. People get diarrhea. People begin to sweat too much because of stress. People begin to twitch. Have you ever said twitch too much? Twitch too much because of stress. People itch. Now we can all laugh. But the reality is people are stressful today. And they're doing that. You know what stressed? You know what stress spelled backwards is? Thank you for asking. Desserts. And maybe that's why we overeat cakes and candy and pies and cookies. Not in this church, but in other churches, they're stressed. It's said that an upset mind will produce an upset body. In 1991, Scud missiles were fired from Iraq over Israel. That day, the heart rate went up. People died of heart attacks. 58 in one day, 58% higher than any other day. Why? The stress overwhelmed them. Even though the Scud missile never fell on anyone, it was the threat and the stress of it falling that made them sick and have a heart attack. Kevin Carter, a photographer, Pulitzer Prize winner, he won it taking a picture of a toddler in Sudan who was stalked by vultures. At age 33, commits suicide. His father said Kevin always carried his work around, the horror of the work that he did. The work, the labor, the burden of what he felt and what he saw. He had no outlet, and stress killed him. Christy Henrich weighed 95 pounds, 4'11". She was a gymnast trying to make the 1988 United States Olympic team. A coach told her she was too heavy at 95 pounds. So she starved herself and only ate one slice, an apple a day. Her body weight was reduced to 52 pounds. She died at age 22 of anorexia. All because of something someone said or the stress to try to make the team measure up to someone's standard or performance. All these things are related to stress. We live in a stressful world. And I don't need to convince you that these are stressful times. And I want you to know that sometimes a stress ball and a vacation and a massage and sex and jacuzzi and exercise and a cigarette and a stiff drink and a joint and sleep is not going to be the answer. Because here's what I know. You can do all those things, but then you got to wake up to the problem. Some of those things just simply won't erase the stress that I'm under. At Christmas time, my son Adam bought me a stress ball. I don't know why, but can you imagine? He bought me a stress ball. God is my witness. This Saturday, I was squeezing the stress ball, and it broke in my hands. I'm going to show you a picture. It broke. Now I have stress over something that's supposed to relieve my stress. It's all over my, I can't wash it off. I wipe it in grass. My arm is full of grass. I look like the Hulk. I'm terrible. I'm stressed out. And sometimes Jack and all his friends, I'm talking about Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, and Jose Cuevas, can't relieve the stress that is in our lives. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee in the right hand of my righteousness." That's what God says about stress. God says, in this world you will have tribulation. I'm not ignoring the challenges God is saying. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I love that word. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, you know, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing, but everything by prayer and supplications. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. But the Bible says in Psalms 16, verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Maybe I'm shaken today because I'm not keeping my eyes on the Lord like I should. Psalms 37 says this, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way and because of the man who brings schemes to pass. I want you to recognize today that the Bible is full of great examples of people that were under stress and why they were under the stress. Job is under stress because of the sickness in his life. But I want to tell Job that just because you're sick doesn't mean it's ended yet. God comes and heals Job, and the Bible says that he lives another 140 years after the healing. He sees four generations of his children raised, and the Bible says he died old and full of days. So Job, why are you stressed? Because God is going to bring you healing today. And some of you today might be stressed because of your illness. Let the scriptures minister to you. Let me be an example to you who had stage 4 terminal cancer, only giving a 50% chance to live 1 year, but in June will be 8 years. In the last 6 years, I've not had a CAT scan, had no medication, or seen a doctor. People are under stress. Mary Magdalene is under stress because she goes to the tomb and the body of Jesus is not there. She gets calm when she hears Jesus say to her, Mary, one word from God can calm all the stress in your life. Moses is stressed because of all the millions of people that he has to counsel. He's gonna wear himself out. And sometimes people are stressed because of people around them. And God tells him to not be stressed through Jethro, but to learn how to delegate. Martha is stressed because of all the people in her house, and there's cleaning that needs to be done and food preparation. But Jesus says, sir, don't be stressed, Martha. Sit at my feet and hear the word of God, and it will relieve the stress. The disciples are under stress because they're in a little boat, and Jesus is asleep on a pillow and the storm is raging and they're rowing and they're rowing. They're trying to go forward. And maybe that's you trying to go forward, but you can't go nowhere. You keep getting pushed back. So you're under the stress. You wake up, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? How can you perish when Jesus is in your boat? Jesus speaks a word of peace to your life. Then we see the sailors. We see the sailors when Jonah is in the boat. They're under the stress that the boat is going to capsize and the storm's coming against the boat. So they're under stress because of Jonah. But what do they do to relieve the stress as they're on their way to Tarshish? They throw Jonah overboard. And sometimes you got to throw Jonah, or in my church, I'd say Jonisha, overboard sometimes. Now, that doesn't mean literally. But sometimes you just got to disconnect from the emotion and the weight of someone else's problem. Just disconnect. It doesn't mean I don't care. It doesn't mean I'm kicking you the curb. It doesn't mean that I won't call you. It doesn't mean that I won't hang around you. But I need to learn how to cast my care upon God and not carry the weight of what you're going through. The Bible is full of great examples of people that carried stress. Jesus was under the stress of feeding so many people, healing so many people, teaching so many people, and being an example to so many people, but he handled stress amazingly. He was under stress when he was in the wilderness three times to be tempted by the enemy. He was under stress that the Bible tells us that angels had to come and minister to him. He's so worn out. But again, how did Jesus handle the stress that the enemy was attacking him with? Three times he said, it is written. And that's what God has to come out of your mouth. Not the problem, not the challenge, not the situation, but the promise of God. It is written. Devil, this is what the word of God says. Marriage, this is what the word of God says. Body, this is what the word of God says. You'll live and not die and declare the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says that Satan left him. We see stress. We see stress in the Garden of Gethsemane, that blood poured down his head because of the stress. But how did he handle the stress? He looked to heaven and he said, not my will, God, but thy will be done. He's under stress on the cross, suffering within his body and mankind's sin. But how does he handle the stress of what he's going through? Into thy hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. I want to just share with you now, if you would, go over to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. That was my opening, and now I'm going to preach. So I'm out like an old V8 engine. It takes me a little while to get warmed up, but now I'm ready. I want to do a little bit of an expository teaching from here, because this is a great example of Paul, and Paul is under great stress. He is going to be dying. He's going to be leaving soon. And it's amazing to find out where Paul is when he's writing this. He's in a prison. More than that, he's in a dungeon. And he's hungry and he's cold and he's beaten and rats are all over the place. And it's a terrible place to be in. If you ever go to Rome, you could actually go to the Mamertine prison and dungeon that Paul and Peter were in and see it. Now, what made this Mamertine prison in Rome so destitute was that the sewer drainage ran through the prison or the dungeon. So the smell of you know what was overwhelming. He was probably knee deep in it. And the stress of all this is on him. And he begins to write and pen these words to Timothy while he is in prison. He begins to say these things. Let's say, for I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering in my time of my departure. I love how he talks about death. It's a time of departure. Like up and away in my beautiful balloon. I mean, it's exciting. Going to heaven is exciting. Not that anybody's going to go today because it's not your time, but I'm just trying to tell you. I love the terminology, my departure. My departure is at hand. And he goes on and he says this, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing. He says, no matter how ugly my circumstances are, no matter how painful the situation is, I'm looking to a reward that's not given upon this planet. Because what I'm going through, no matter how ugly and nasty, maybe I didn't get my promotion. Maybe someone overlooked. Maybe someone stole something from me. But you know what? God knows and God remembers, and I'm looking for the day that God is going to reward me. That's how you make it through the tough times of your life. You're focused on the future. So Paul begins to share that. And he goes on, he says, and now we'll work to verse number 9. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Gratian for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, and bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his work. You must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But, transition, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. God was with me, number one. Number two, God strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear also, and was delivered out of the mouth of lion. And the Lord will deliver me. He stood with me. He strengthened me. He delivered me. And from every evil work, and number four, preserve me for his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's dissect it just for a few moments and look at a few things. How do we overcome stress? The first thing you look at is verse number 9. For be diligent to come to me quickly. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Timothy. And to overcome stress in our lives, we've got to surround ourselves with friends. This is the great Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who did mighty revival meetings and miracles, and preach the gospel. And no matter how great he was, he needed a friend. And he lists different friends there. But one of them, he says, Timothy, I miss you. I want to talk to you. I long for you. And that's what you and I got to do. When we're in stressful times, you know, we all have associations. We all have relationships. We all have acquaintances. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the few friends that you have that will come and visit you in your prison when you are under stress. And it's just wonderful to see Paul's humanity, to say, no matter how great and no matter how strong I am, I still need a Timothy in my life. And I still need close friends to surround myself with. He's sharing again who he misses. And because of these friendships, you and I will not live in isolation. Isolation tells us you're the only one going through that. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to isolate us. You're the only one going through this. Nobody cares. No one understands you. And when you're getting in isolation, those are the thoughts. You can get away with it. But through friendships come responsibility and accountability and unselfishness. So we've got to surround ourselves with great friends. Now I'm going to try something and see if it goes over well here. I'm going to say a name and you share the friend or the counterpart to that person. I'm going to say the name Batman and you say who? Great job. I'm going to say the word Green Hornet. Who do you say? Kato. Good job. I'm going to say SpongeBob. Who do you say? Patrick. I'm going to say Gumby. Who do you say? Pokey. I'm going to say Captain Kirk. Who do you say? Spock. I'm going to say Michael Jordan. Who do you say? Scottie Pippen. That's a great job. I'm going to say Thelma. You say? Good job. I'm going to say Bonnie. You say? You don't know this. I'm going to say Pastor Kinney, and you're going to say, I'm going to say Pastor Diego. You say Pastor Kinney, because here's my best friend in ministry. No matter how great these heroes were or people, they needed a friend to talk to, a friend that sees them in their imperfections, and a friend who still loves them. The second thing that Paul teaches us, he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The second thing you need to recognize if you're going to overcome stress is you've got to get over and release those that disappoint you. Get over it. Demas, traveling companion, carried his Bible. Set up the appointments, the meetings, the hotel arrangements. Set up the chairs. Went to dinner together, planned the crusade together. But all of a sudden, Demas says, I don't want to be a traveling partner no more. The world is in me. I'm cardinal. There's still something. How many times, I wonder, did Paul pray for him? Restore him. Bring him back. I imagine the mindset was in the thoughts of Paul is, could I have done anything better? Could I have done something to help Demas? Where did I mess up? And sometimes those happen. When people disappoint us, we go into self-condemnation. It's my fault. I do that as a pastor. People sometimes come and go in my church. And when they go, I often want to reflect that I could have done something better. Their leaving is because I didn't measure up. And sometimes that brings stress in my life. And I've got to learn how to release people that disappoint me. People are going to make promise to you. People are going to make vows to you. People are going to make commitments to you. And they're not going to keep them. But you've got to know how to release these. I recognize there's things that I can't control. So why stress over things that I can't control? I can't control the traffic. So why stress over it? I can't control the weather. So why stress over it? I can't control when the cable goes out and I'm right in the middle of a Steeler game. Why stress out? When I get a flat tire, why stress out? When I owe money to the IRS. You know, one of the great stressors in my life is I don't like it when people are late. That brings a lot of stress. But I got to recognize that people are going to disappoint me with their lateness. You know, I've been married in December for 33 years to the same woman. And the only way for me to stay married to her is to tell her we have to be somewhere an hour ahead of time. That's how I've stayed married. So young people, listen to me today. Because if not, it'll drive me crazy. She's trying to choose between the 7 black dresses. Just wear a doggone black dress. Who cares? 15 black shoes. Just pick one of them. But why stress over the things that you and I can't control? We got to get over the disappointments in our lives, those Demases in our lives. You know, I don't know if you're a Frozen fan and you know who Elsa is, but Elsa sings an amazing song. Does anybody know Princess Elsa's song? Let it go, let it go. Let it go, that's all I know, but you just gotta let it go. My wife disappoints me. My children disappoint me. I disappoint them. And I can't hold on to that. Because if I hold on to that, that creates bitterness in my heart. It could create unforgiveness in my life. I can't hold on to those things. My Bible says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up causing trouble, and by this many be defiled. The next thing that I recognize in the scriptures, he says this about John Mark. He says this about John Mark. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Then he goes on, Luke is with, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. Here's the next thought. Don't stress over people that disagree with you. Don't stress over disagreements. Paul is on his first missionary journey. You know the story. He's having a great time with his traveling companion, Barnabas. Barnabas has a nephew. His name is John Mark, or Mark. We get gospel from him, the gospel of Mark. But Mark was a mama's boy. He got tired. He wasn't going to be able to stay at the Sheraton or the Marriott. He wasn't eating at Off the Hook restaurant, great restaurant in town. He wasn't going to be able to go to a bathroom. He'd have to go just out in the woods. It was tough. It was difficult. And so he said, I'm out of here. And he deserted them on the mission field. So a great Conflict arose on the next missionarian journey because Paul says, are you ready, Barnabas? Barnabas says, yes. Let me get John Mark. Paul says, wait a minute. We're not taking your nephew. He walked out on us. There's no second chances. No second chances with me. My standards are so high. So it creates a division, and now there's two missionary teams that develop out of that. Paul goes with Silas, and Barnabas now travels on his own missionary journey with John Mark. But later they are restored, and this gospel tells us that John Mark matured. He wasn't always like that. Carnal, fleshly, a deserter, a mama's boy, worthless. He matured so that now the great apostle said, he is useful in the kingdom of God. He's useful. So the thought here that I want to share with you is that don't get stressed over disagreements. People are arguing about roles in the home and politics. Who do you want to win? Ted Cruz, Donald? Hillary, Bernie, people are fighting all the time over styles and interpretations, definitions. Do you like the way that guy dressed? I don't think a preacher ought to dress like that. Do you like the way he talked? I don't like the way he talked. He yelled too much. Do you like the music? No, I want it to be more mellow. I want it to be more gospel. I want it to be more country. I want it to be more contemporary. Are you pre-trib? Are you mid-trib? Are you post-trib? Do you believe that you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven, or you don't believe that? Do you believe that healing is today, or you don't believe that healing is today? People want to argue about everything. And you and I can't be stressed out over disagreements. Can't be stressed out about disagreements. There was a time when my boys didn't believe exactly what I believed, specifically about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They weren't sure that all nine gifts were for today. They recognized some of them, but they didn't believe in all of them. And they want to try to argue with me and create stress for me until I came up with the right answer. And I said, you know what? You may be right. That was my answer. And it's amazing how they didn't want to talk to me no more. They just wanted to try to convince me, or they just wanted to try to argue with me. But I didn't want the stress. It was getting too much. And so that was my answer. Sometimes when people want to argue with me about those kinds of things, I just say, you know what? You may be right. So you got to recognize that there are going to be people in our lives that are John Marks in our lives, and there are going to be disagreements. And you and I can't say my way or the highway. You got to be open to different opinion. I'm not talking about the standards and values of the gospel. I'm talking about interpretations of styles. And things of that, things like that, where the scriptures are gray, there's no specifics about them. So I want you to recognize that you cannot write someone off and kick them to the curb, because they might be a John Mark today. Don't have no maturity, let you down, disappoint you, but one day they're going to grow up to be valued in the kingdom of God, and you can't write them off. I have a guy in my church 20 years ago, Keith Dyer. And my office looked out the foyer of the church. And I saw Keith. He was 17 years old. He was hanging around a bunch of teenagers. There were some girls there. And I could tell that he was trying to hit up on one of the girls, hit on her. And she wasn't going to have it. And he tried to put his arm around her, and she pushed him away. And he tried to get close, and she'd step away. And till finally he just kind of really tried to get a big hug around her, and she just really pushed him hard, and she walked away. And when she did that, he slapped her behind. Well, it made me really mad. I came right out of the office, and booyah, I was in his face. Does anybody know what mad dogging is? Because I haven't been saved all my life, okay? So I'm booyah, what's up? What's up? I saw what you did. That wasn't cool. That wasn't respectable, putting your hands on that girl like that. And the amazing thing today is this. If you walk into my children's church, he is one of the most faithful volunteers. He comes to service, and every Sunday he goes. He's 37 years old now. He went through the military. He worked, been working at the post office for umpteen years, and one of the strongest members of my church. And if I wrote Keith off,
he would have never been useful to me in the kingdom of God. You just never know. The next thing I recognize, I love this point. Paul says this. He says, bring me the cloak. What's up with a robe? What's up with a jacket? What's up with the cloak? It was very, very dear to him. It was just something special to him. And that cloak is going to relieve stress from his life. It's dear to him. And it may not be dear to anyone else, but it's dear to him. So the thought is this, bring close to you the things that relieve your stress. Bring close to you. So it might be TV, movies, reading, walking, music, gardening, knitting, games, puzzles, laughing. But whatever relieves your stress, bring it. His cloak brought warmth to him. What brings warmth to you? What brings security to you? What makes you happy? Those are stress relievers in your life. The Bible says Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed more earnestly. Prayer is a great reliever of stress. The greater the stress, Jesus prayed more. The more the stress, he prayed more earnestly until something broke, which is the presence of God coming upon him when he would say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's almost like he walks into the garden with a struggle and he walks out as bold. Let's get going now. Let's get going. And that's the way it is sometimes. You're heavy and you're overwhelmed and you're burdened by what you're going through, but then you get in the midst of prayer and you just pray it through. And sometimes, I'm trying to tell you, it's not a 5-minute prayer. You got to labor there for a minute. But you pray more earnestly and something is broken in your life. You want to know things. Now, all of us are wired differently, so I don't know what relieves stress in your life, but enjoy it as long as it's not sinful. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here are some things we can all do. You know what relieves stress? Have a healthy diet. Just have a healthy diet. You know, it's wonderful, and I don't mean to offend anybody. It's wonderful when you're 30 years old and all you do is eat at McDonald's. But I'm or a teenager. But how many of you know when you're 50 years old, you can't eat every day at McDonald's? And the way to relieve stress in our body is to have a great diet. The way to relieve stress in our body is exercise. Exercise. Move around a little bit. Get that heart going up. Exercise is not talking on your phone, drinking a Starbucks while you're walking. Now that I've offended half the church. You know it's a great stress reliever? Go to bed. Go to bed. How many of you have little kids? How many of you were a little kid? How many of you know little kids get a little ornery? They get tired. What happens when they get tired? They get moody. And you say, it's bedtime for you. And some of you, we need to go to you. It's past your bedtime. Serving and giving are ways to relieve your stress. You know, I have a pastor friend of mine and his wife, and we went on a cruise together. We had broke bread together. We ate together. We fellowshiped. We played golf together. But we had never gone on like a cruise. I mean, that's like a big commitment to be with somebody that long. You know, and They're like cruiser freaks. They're like platinum members. They just know every cruise ship, every line. They just go on cruises. So we meet up and we say, well, what do you do? And they said, what we do, we find really relaxing is we like to go to the library and read books. I said, boring. I said, try again. Well, we just like to stay in the cabin and then we just rent movies. I said, you gotta be kidding. They said, what do? I said, we get up in the morning and we're out the door, wherever we go. And we go adventuring. If we come in, we eat, we shower, we brush our teeth, change our clothes, and we're gone again. They said, do you mind if we hang around with you? I said, hang around. So they were with us. We went foxtrot dancing. We went disco dancing. We went country western dancing. We went everywhere. We did every quiz game, every puzzle game there was, anything you could win money on, every event, every activity. By the end of it, they were dragging like this and saying, you go on the cruise next time. We're going to pass. We're full of stress. We got to go on another cruise. He goes on in conclusion, two more points and we're done. He says this, he said, bring the parchments and the books. The parchments. Bring me the Old Testament. Bring me the epistles that I've written. I need the scriptures to comfort me in my stressful time right now. I'm weary, I'm tired, I feel lonely and abandoned. Let the word of God come. Open the Bible. My son, attend to thy words, incline thy ears unto thy sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Meditate in the word day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. My word is spirit, and it is life. It's amazing how stress will go away when you just meditate in the word of God. I have these four grandchildren, and they're different age. The youngest guy, he's Silas. And Silas can't feed himself. He has no hand coordination. He's too small. He can't get up and go make something, okay? Then I go up to the next guy, Judah. Judah, he could hold his bottle, but you gotta make it, but he could hold his bottle. If you put like little Cheerios in front of him, he has coordination. He can grab that Cheerio and he could eat it. Then there's Ariel. Ariel's 5 years old. She'll never starve to death. She knows how to go in the cabinet. She knows how to sit down. She knows how to make herself a sandwich. And there comes a point in our faith when we can't depend upon other people to feed us. You can't say, here it comes, open your mouth, here comes the word of God. You got to know how to open the word of God on your own and feed yourself. And the last thing he says here is, no one stood with me, but God stood with me, and he gave us the four things that I shared with you. He said he stood with me, and he strengthened me, and he delivered me, and he preserved me. At the end of the day, after you've maybe repented of something, after you've done your due diligence and your homework, after you've been a good steward, after you prayed it through, now at the end of the day, you just have to trust God that he's in control. God's with me. God's gonna preserve me. God's gonna deliver me. No matter how out of control it looks, I've gotta trust that God. I'm gonna ask that the praise and worship team, the band, come forward right now. As I close this message out, I just want you to recognize, you gotta trust God, that God is in control. God, I'm just gonna trust you in this. I've done everything I know to do, God, and I can't fix it, I can't resolve it. I'm gonna give you my children, I'm gonna give you the struggle in my family, the division, the strife, the problems, the things that weigh heavy. I just believe that you, God, are gonna take care of it, God. I'm gonna allow you to be in control, your sovereignty, Lord. You lead it, you guide it, and you direct it. On my assistant's desk is this little statue of a lady who's dancing and praising the Lord. And this little statue says this, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And that's the thing I wanna ask you today, and that's what your confession is. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I want you to say that 3 times. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Say it again. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Would you just lift your hands toward heaven and let's just sing this song just for a moment.
Lay it all down.
Yes,
Lord. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. To worship, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down, to worship.
Let's sing it again. Come on, let's lay
it all down.
Whatever you're carrying, let's give it to God tonight.
Lay it all down.
Whatever is turning your stomach upside down.
Lay it all down.
A past hurt, a disappointment.
To worship.
A Demas in your life, a John Mark in your life, someone that betrayed you, someone that hurt you. Let it go tonight. You're going to get the stress out of your life. You're going to become healthy spiritually. You're going to become healthy physically. You're going to become healthy in your soul and your mind. Let's lay it all down. God, we give it to you tonight. Whatever we walked in with that's heavy on our heart, the problem.
the unresolved issues.
In worship,
we give it to you, God.
Lay it all
down so that we can
lay
worship.
It all down.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence.
Lay it all down.
To come upon your people right now.
In worship, lay it all down.
Come on, just receive the peace of
lay
God.
Lay it all down.
Receive the rest that God promises you. The rest for your soul.
In worship,
you're not going to carry the care anymore.
Lay it all down.
You're going to trust God tonight.
Lay it all down.
He's going to take care of it. He's going to make a way where there is no other way. He's going to fix it for you.
In worship, lay it all down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lay it all down.
Thank you, Lord.
Lay it all down.
In worship.
In worship.
I'm going to ask that nobody move right now. Just reverence the presence of the Lord just for a minute right now. I want you just to look at me today. You and I are one germ, one virus, one accident, mishap away from heaven's gate or hell's doors. Tomorrow's not promised to any single one of us. People that die or go to heaven are not people that are just simply 95 years old in a hospice and we're waiting. They're people our age. They get on highways and they never get off. I'm a pastor. I deal with this every single week. They're rear-ended. They fall asleep. A drunk driver. The second thing is that people check into a hospital with minor surgery. There's no risk, but this time something happens. They can't resuscitate them. They die. This happens all the time. People that are 25, 35, 45, preparing to go to college, preparing their vacations, ready to retire. They do something they've done 1,000 times of no risk, but this time something breaks and it kills them instantly. When we get word, we're overwhelmed and say, oh my God, I just talked to them. I just texted them. I just Facebooked them. I just saw them. I'm not trying to put fear into you. I pray you live another 100 years. But should that not be granted to you, I want you to be ready. I'm ready. I made my eternal reservation. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So today, Jesus is not here to judge anyone, condemn, or punish. He's here to forgive you today. Maybe you've got some issues of shame, guilt, and condemnation in your life. Come to Him today. You say, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm a Christian, but I'm not serving the Lord. It's been a long time since I've been in church, felt close to God. No one has to tell me how I'm living is wrong. I know how I'm living. I have the Spirit of God within me, but I want to rededicate my life. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as high as I'm raising my hand. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. I know it's going to be a little embarrassing, but I wonder how embarrassing it was for Jesus to die on a cross, marred, beaten, and naked for you. It's the least thing you could do. You haven't been saved all your life, and I'm sure I could follow you around to see somewhere in your life where you were unashamed to do something. Let's do it for Christ now. Let's give our life to Him for the first time. Let's rededicate our lives. One, two, hands will go up all around this auditorium today. One, two, three. Raise your hand all across this auditorium. Raise it up high. Keep it up high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 15, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 2, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. And the balconies are so far to tell. Father, I thank you. I need you to say a prayer after me. I can only give you the words. I can't give you the heart. But I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I recognize a sin in my life. But I need a Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. He died on the cross for my sins. From this moment forward, I am forgiven. I am a child of God, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor John, God bless you guys. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.